Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
You're living at a time of extremism, a time of revolution, a time when there's got to be a change. People in power have misused it, and now there has to be a change, and a better world has to be built, and the only way it's going to be built is with extreme methods. And I, for one, will join in with anyone. Don't care what color you are, as long as you want to change this miserable condition that exists on this earth. Thank you.
You are now listening to the Black Geek.
Let's go. Ecstatic. Classic. Super magic, black origin, fresh me out of dopeness. Definitely out of dopeness, sketch another opus. Lock off this set, Brooklyn, we keep them open.
The heavens expand, the stars advance, fill up boogeyman.
Hold your hand, healing power like bang. Snap our filthy stitches, we know the truth, you can't confuse me.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks and geekettes, brothers and sisters around the world, oh, it is a pleasure to be back with you again on these intergalactic airwaves, terrestrial radio, and the interweb. I am your ever-effervescent host, Big Baba Rob. So very glad. We've been away for a while, but we're back with a very, very special interview today. I'm very excited about this brother's project. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell y'all straight up front, right up. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. We need to get this project funded. There's no reason why we can't come together and get this brother's project funded, because it looks beautiful. The concept is beautiful, but I am very excited and honored to be interviewing Durante Avaloy today from Avaloy Studios. Durante, greetings, good evening. How you doing today?
Oh man, appreciate that, man. I am good, man. Really good right now.
That is awesome, man. And I'm going to tell you, hopefully after this interview, after we get this thing pumping, after we, you know, get with the right people, we're going to try to lock this thing down. We got 22 days, Durante. 22 days. We got to get Yasuke funded, man. And I'm with you. I'm with you on this. I'm going to help any way I can. I'm going to reach out to my network, and I'm looking forward to it. But before we get started, I need you to tell the people who is Durante Avaloy. Who are you? And is Avaloy your real name? Because I've never ever seen Avaloy. Is that your avatar name? Who is Durante Avaloy?
Avaloy is actually my real name. It's a Belizean name from Belize. I'm born and raised here in Atlanta, Georgia. I started out, been doing entertainment since I was about, 12, 13 years old. Started out acting, doing theater. Want to be a rapper. Released a little single. Went through some record label trauma. And I kind of shifted over towards doing like film and television production. And then actually about a year ago, I got into doing more or less wanted to get into doing comic books and everything else. And then that's what really started out the whole thing with the Yasuke project. The whole Yasuke thing really kicked off after when Captain America Civil War came out last year. And mm-hmm. I remember I was one of those crazy people that went to the Captain America marathon at the AMC theaters. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember that or not. This is when they show all the movies back to back to back to back to back. Like, I was there from 7 a.m. to 11 o'clock at night. So, showing you how much of a black geek I am. So, from that, I remember Civil War was the last movie they showed, of course. And I just remember being half asleep. But when Black Panther came on the screen and everybody in the audience just erupted into applause and cheers, that just woke me up immediately. And I was it just stuck with me for the rest of the night and the next day. And I was like, yo, I want my own quote unquote Black Panther. And I had known about the story about Yasuke for a while now. And it was a friend of mine, his name is Trey Squire. He was actually the screenwriter on another animated project we had just completed. And we were looking for something else for us to do together again because we got along so well. And I told him, hey, man, what do you think about this Yasuke thing? And he's like, yo, that's dope. Let's do it. And from there, that's what sparked off the comic book. And then from the comic book, we went into doing the animated series. And here we are today.
You know, that's an interesting transition. I mean, I feel like I'm missing a gap here. I mean, you kind of filled it, and I'm not questioning what, you know, anything that you said, but that's an interesting jump to go from, you know, music and acting and theater in the comic books. You know, is there anything from your youth that, like, oh yeah, you know, when I was younger, I used to read a lot, or I used to collect comics, or I had a good friend, I used to go read the comics. I mean, is there some type of connection that you have, you know, to the comic book genre, or really was it just that moment with Captain America was like, you know, like you just said, yeah, I want to have that moment too. Is there a connection, or this is just something that just literally hit you?
No, I you know, and my apologies for that. I've always been an avid comic book reader since I was about like 6 years old, 6-7 years old. I've been a collector. I'm talking about, you know, I buy two copies, one for me to personally like read, and then another one for me to actually like put up to add to my collection that I do not touch. I collect comic books. I collect collectible toys, action figures, movie posters, the whole nine yards. I mean, I've been a Black geek for quite some time now.
Got you. And that's usually the story behind a Black geek at some point in time, or a blurred, you know, that there's something from our past, and then somehow it manifests in our adulthood, you know. And so that's what I was wondering. I was like, wow, you know, just for you to go from being actor into comic books, that's a heck of a jump. Are you surprised even at this point, you know, your journey, like you said, being in music, being in theater, and now here you are, you know, putting together a comic and maybe even an animated series. Are you surprised about where you've landed?
As far as the comic book, I am. As far as the animated series stuff, not really, because most people who know me were like, yeah, we could kind of see that happening with you. You know, like you're just, you know, like one of my favorite movies of all times is the 1986 Transformers the Animated Movie.
Yeah,
to me it stands the test of time, and I mean like literally I will watch that movie at least once every 3 months. You know, it's 2017. This movie came out in 1986. That movie still holds weight to me. It is aged beautifully, and the biggest thing is. And it's sometimes this actually gets me in trouble a lot of times with music, with film, with animation, with comic book, you know, writing and publishing, is that I have to have everything to be a certain standard to me personally. I have to know that I give it 110% my best, because I want my stuff to be able to stand the test of time. And like I say, like if you look at like the pages from the Yasuke comic book, like those are like real deal. You know, that does not look like anything that's cheaply made, that was hurried through. Like that's an actual painting. And it that took some time. And like, I want people to know and look and feel and know they're getting a quality product anytime they see my name attached to something. And that's the biggest thing that I want to do with anything that I touch. It's like, as soon as you see Durante Avaloy attached to some project, you know you're going to get a quality product from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing that really caught my attention. For folks who, you know, they can go to hatchfund.org/project/Yasuke. That's YASUKE. And, you know, we'll definitely be providing a link to that in the description for this show, you know, on our different feeds. I just one thing that really caught my attention that, you know, I was watching the video and I was like, oh, okay, let's see how this is going to come along. And then we got down to the animated part. I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. I mean, this is really, really beautiful. I mean, whoever is doing the illustrations and the coloring, I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. You're right. This is a high quality product. And this is why we got to get this thing funded, because it's phenomenal, man. And we'll talk a little bit about your team. You know, who are some of the folks who are working on this project with you?
All right. As far as we'll go with the comic book end of things. The comic book end of things, the writer was Trey Squire, like I mentioned before. Then also I have some other people on my team as far as like inkers and colorers with Abloy Studios, who are just some of the best guys from SCAD Atlanta, who just kind of new to the team. They've been with us now for about maybe 7 months. Josh and Brian, who just really just understood the vision I was trying to bring with everything and just wanted to get on board with stuff. And then as far as like with the painting and everything else, that's from an artist named, I got to pronounce his name right, Rudy Ayo. And this is actually his first time actually ever doing a comic book before. He's known for doing actual paintings. When I first contacted him, I had the initial vision for the cover. And I gave him the ideas and everything else like that. He gave me the cover. And this was back in like January, February of this year. And I had previous artist who was going to do the work for the actual pages and everything else. But and one thing I learned earlier this year about comic books is to always have contracts with everybody, serious contracts with everybody. Because this artist, I paid him to do one page. He got ready to do a second page, and I paid him for that. And then all of a sudden, I asked him to make a revision, and he was like, you know what? I just don't have time for this. I gotta move on to another project. And I'm like, damn, we had like 20 more pages left to go. And after that, I really learned like, wow, okay. You know, I asked some more people like, you know, what's going on? Am I doing something wrong? This, that, the other. And it's a basic business structure. If I'm paying somebody $200 to $300 a page independent, but then somebody else is coming along and offering somebody $500 to $600 a page, they're gonna go with the more money persons. I mean, it's just what it is. And then also it's the fact that it was con season. So for those who don't know, like a lot of different independent artists, illustrators, whatever, they can actually just go out and play the con circuit, making drawings of either original characters or other licensed characters from like the bigger studios, and they can make a good little bit of money doing it every single weekend if that's what they want to do. And again, I went through like maybe 12 to 13 different artists before Rudy was just like, hey man, you know, I could just give it a try. And it was like, okay, well, just try one page off and let's just see how it looks. And that one page is the first page you see, the one with the eye and the reflection of Yasuke in it. That was the very first page he did. And after that, I was like, dude, yeah, you're rolling with me. It's a wrap. Let's go.
Right. And that is one thing to note that page, I thought that detail on that and the whole image with the eye is just it's beautiful. I mean, it is absolutely a beautiful thing. So I could completely understand. Yeah, it really, really does. I mean, because that's not something, I mean, you know, you see that used sometimes, but I mean, the level of detail is just absolutely beautiful. Folks need to go to the site to definitely check it out. It's really, really amazing. So I completely understand contracts do matter. Sometimes you got to lock folks down. Yeah.
Now with the animation and this is actually my fourth animated project that I've done. I've done a couple of animated projects before, some stuff for Comedy Central. I did some stuff. I did a pilot that I pitched to Turner and everything else. It was actually picked up, but through Through the business, it was not actually ever produced. So this is actually like my fourth project, like I said, doing that was animated. The initial thing was to do what's called a sizzle reel. A sizzle reel is just a brief little highlight trailer showing some things of what the movie or what the series would be about. The initial plan was to just do this and then to pitch that to some studios and different production companies and try to see who would come on board to help me bring this to light. So I did I independently did the sizzle reel earlier this year between like March and May. Then after that, I had a couple of different studios interested. From those, usually the way it happens with the studio system, if one studio finds out that you're talking with somebody else, they want to know what's going on. And then another one wants to know what's going on. So I wound up talking to a total of 19 different studios and production companies this past summer. All out of LA, between LA, New York, and basically talking with all of them, I found out that I'm better off just doing it independent because we cannot really come together on a true vision of the show. I'll give you one instance where Yasuke is the story of a former African slave who was battling PTSD while trying to be trained to become a samurai in Japan. A lot of execs were like, well, how come we can't have Yasuke be more of a happy, easygoing type guy? And I'm like, well, because he was a slave. Well, was slavery really that bad? I'm like, are you serious?
Whoa.
Like, really?
Whoa, really?
You know, another person actually said, well, why would he have PTSD? And I'm like, well, because he was a slave. Well, I don't understand how you would get PTSD. That's more or less like if you fought in a war. And I'm like, you should read some reports on what slavery actually was and why it would have traumatic effects on you psychologically. And they looked at me like, okay, I thought you were just like a easygoing, happy type of guy. I said, I am, but I'm also educated as well, and I read. So I don't understand. Are you all just trying to just give me money? Just want me to just shut up? And he kind of wanted to tell me, kind of, yeah. I could tell by looking at his face, but I'm like, no, I don't do that, dude. I've been through this too many times, being burnt, this, that, the other, where it's like, no, I'm not doing that anymore. So that's when I decided, that was like late August to actually do this completely independent as far as the animation and also as far as the comic book as well.
Wow. And you know, that's incredible. That's an incredible story of how this came to be, because that's astounding I'm not astounded. Let me not say I'm completely astounded, because that's not true. Because the level of ignorance that people have about, you know, cultural history and world history, and especially the what Black folks went through, African descendants went through to get here to this point, and not understanding what that struggle was, what that really looked like, you know, outside of the community, they're desensitized. So I think that is incredible that as you were trying to push this, that fact, that level of ignorance came about. And so kudos to you to say, well, regardless, you know, I'm going to tell the story that needs to be told, and it's obvious I'm not going to be able to do it with you, so you have to do it on your own. Kudos to you.
It was an extremely hard thing to do.
Because
the thing is that, you know, it's hard when you have, you know, you got bills, you got this, that, the other, you got the people depending on you for stuff like that. And when somebody comes down and offers you, you know, a $500,000 check, like, you can have that tomorrow. You know, and you're saying, like, no. Brother, I'm telling you, that's a hard thing to do, man. That is an extremely hard thing to do. And when I saw that we had initially talked about per episode, so it went from me getting what was it? At first, it was like it was 175,000 per episode, all the way up to $545,000 per episode. When I saw how it jumped like that, in a matter of maybe like, in a matter of like maybe like 17 minutes, I was like, okay, yeah, you know what? I you know, I can't. I see how you try. I see how it works. I get that. I understand the structure, this, that, the other. You got the money. You throw it at somebody. You 90% of the people will probably take it. And then the system wins and the cycle repeats itself all over again.
Right.
That's the way it works. And it's like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. Because mm-hmm. the whole thing is that, you know, at the end of the day, if I would have did it with them, the show that I came out, not truly being my vision, and my people say that the show is trash, guess who's going to look bad in all this? Is it going to be me? Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be Sony? It's going to be me.
It's going to be you, right?
That's what it's going to be me. It's going to be me. So I'm good. I'm really good. So yeah, that's it, man.
I got you. And, you know, like I said, kudos to you for, you know, sticking to your guns and understanding that, you know, that integrity is just so very important. And more as we try to create this content that tells a story and especially tells a positive story, you know, about a person of color and about a historical, you know, concept. You know, it is going to take an amount of courage. And, you know, and that's hopefully that's why, you know, that's why I'm like, that's why I want to see this funded. I mean, I want to see it. I want to see it happen, you know, and I want to see that vision, you know, come to life as well. And speaking of that vision, so introduce folks to your story and introduce everyone to Yasuke and you know, you were talking, you know, you talked a little bit about previously about, you know, the background of it. Tell people about this story.
It's pretty, and I hate to make it sound like it's so simple and straightforward, but it kind of is a little bit. It's basically, remember before slavery, where our ancestors were in Africa, living the life that they were living. And then of course, where they were abducted and everything else from our country. Basically, that's where Yasuke's story begins. Again, all this stuff is based off of a true, real-life person. I'm not making up all this stuff. You can please Google this, Yasuke, and look this stuff up. This guy was actually a real – he was abducted, made a slave, went through different owners, different experiences, and eventually he winds up in Japan. Around, like, 1857, during that time period in Japan, they had never seen a person of color like that before. So what happened is that when he set foot there, he was like the talk of the town. Like there were people that were trampling over and stomping on each other, killing people in order to see and catch a glimpse of quote unquote, this black god. They have never seen nothing like this before. Remember, you know, the average height of Japanese people, I could be wrong about this, let's say about maybe 5'5", 5'4", during that time period, and Yasuke was standing about 6'1", 6'2". And again, he is black. He is African. They had not seen nothing like this before. So you can just imagine the amazement and the wonder going on with this, while he's creating a buzz in the city, the warlord of Japan, Oda Nobunaga, he had heard about what was going on, and he requested to personally see Yasuke, because he wanted to see and examine, you know, who is this person himself. When he finally saw Yasuke, he immediately had Yasuke stripped down and immediately washed, because he wanted to see if he thought that his black skin was ink. He thought it was black ink. And when it didn't rub off, that's when he was like, oh, wow, this is real. This is really real. So eventually, through time, Yasuke actually came under the care of Oda and actually became his bodyguard, and he actually started to train him to be a samurai right before Oda died. But more of that is discussed in the book and the animated series as well. But it's a great, great tale of just discovery of oneself, not letting your past define you, and just trying to rise above, you know, any situation.
You know, one thing that you mentioned in the video on the site, you talked about you wanted it to be a story, you know, even for kids, you know, for children. You know, how do you see this positively impacting young people?
The thing is that if you think of, and I remember this quote, it came out like maybe like a month, 2 months ago, when they were talking about basically black superheroes. And you might have heard this thing too, how like, you know, isn't it funny how all the black superheroes have the powers of electricity? You know, you got your Black Lightning, you got your Static Shock, so on, so on, and so on. And it's like, they're basically, either they're all sharing the same powers where nobody really stands out, or either they are regarded as being either a fun sidekick to a bigger hero. Like if you look at like War Machine is the sidekick to what? Iron Man. If you look at Falcon is the sidekick to who? Captain America. You've got a character like Blue Marvel, who a lot of people might not know about from Marvel Comics, who is really like one of the strongest Marvel characters out there, but he's kind of downplayed a lot. They don't really talk about Blue Marvel. I mean, right now, a lot of people are listening to this right now. Google Blue Marvel, and you will be amazed, like, wow, this guy is like, he's stronger than Superman. But nobody talks about him, though, really. You know? It's just now in recent years that people are really trying to give Static an actual chance again. And look how long Static's been around. You know? My main thing is to actually try to give kids something that, hey, this was actually a real person, but also this is somebody who actually, he's not perfect. He didn't start off perfect. You know, one of the things, especially with the animation is that I'm not showing him running around, taking on 20 different people, not breaking a sweat, and he's the perfect fighter. Like, no, we have to show growth of character. So he can barely take on like one or two people at one time at first. But eventually he'll get there, but it takes work. It takes, you know, it takes progression. So that's what really what I think that, you know, younger readers should see is that, you know, by studying whatever thing it is and working every day towards something, you will eventually get there, but it takes time. And, you know, and that's one thing that if you look at with a lot of forms of different entertainment, not just far as like, you know, African-American, but just any kind of entertainment where they don't really show, you know, certain situations. They just always really kind of glamour it up. You know, the guy who can take on 20 people, he doesn't get tired, this, that, the other. It's an old movie. It's called Rapid Fire with Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's son. And in this one particular scene, he's taking on like about maybe like 7 to 8 people back to back to back. And one of the coolest things, I still remember this to this day, one of the coolest things in this movie is he actually stops for a minute and breathes heavy because he's getting tired. You don't see that much. You don't. It's every blue moon you actually see that. And I think that when you actually put a little dose of realism into something like that, it makes stuff stand out.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a really good point. Well, let me ask you to a point that you were just making. Do you think that we're starting to turn the corner now with, with folks like, Black Superheroes Matter. You've got, you know, Lion Forge, who, you know, is putting out Noble. You have,
you know, Image, it was that, I think it was that Image, I can't remember, Black Mask, you know, has the black comic book. Do you think that we're now in the revolution phase where, because for so long, heroes of color were treated as second rate or less than, or not even talked about, like Blue Marvel? I have never, ever heard anybody mention Blue Marvel, and I Googled it like you said, and I'm like, oh man, this dude's pretty impressive. I mean, do you think that we're now at the point where we've got a lot of really great content creators, a lot of great artists, you know, like Afua Richardson and Chuck Collins. I mean, you know, we finally have Joseph Illich. You know, we've got so many folks out there that are creating amazing content. Ta-Nehisi Coates, you know, with the whole Black Panther series, World of Wakanda, Black Panther and the Crew. Do you feel that we're now in like the renaissance of the black superhero, where black superheroes are starting to be able, are getting more notice and more credibility?
I will give you a perfect example of this, of my answer, and you'll see what my answer really is to this. When I had those meetings and stuff, like I said, it was during the summertime. On one particular meeting with one really, really, really huge conglomerate studio. I was made an offer of about maybe it was like $110,000 per episode. I would need a showrunner, which is understandable sometimes, especially with me being quote unquote a non-name in the industry, and everything else. So what happens is that was the offer on one day. I told them, you know, I couldn't really make that deal. So I left, they understood, and that was it. The very next day, the Black Panther teaser trailer came out.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows what that trailer did. It went crazy. It went crazy. And what happened is, the very next day, that studio called me back and said, hey, have you left town? I'm like, I'm about to leave right now. Okay, well, you know what? We'll just meet you in Atlanta then, and we'll pay you for your time, and let's try to work this out. Because everybody knows now that it's a black renaissance about to happen. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to get a little, and everybody wants to get a little piece of it. But the whole thing is, we all have to stick together with integrity and not take the BS. That's all I'm saying. That's it.
Right.
Otherwise, it's going to be watered down, and we're going to basically get the, okay, if you know, if you look at the blaxploitation movie craze of like the late 60s, 70s, everything else.
Right.
It was one thing when it was coming, quote unquote, from us, or it's written by us. But when other people tried to take control and tried to do a quote unquote blaxploitation movie, you can really see in between the lines. You get what I'm saying? As far as it's not really a solid story, it doesn't really feel authentic. And that's the whole thing about it, you know? If you look at something like Miles Morales, Spider-Man, it feels authentic because Marvel utilized a lot of black writers, maybe not giving them credit, but at least talked to them and were like, hey, so what kind of goes on in the neighborhood? You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Because I'm sure at first they were probably like, oh, we'll just have Miles be an ex gangbanger and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, and I'm sure some of them were like, yo, we ain't never gangbanged before. What are you talking about? Oh, okay, that was just our perception. So what do you guys do? Well, the same stuff that you do. Oh, wow, okay. And then look where we're at now.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Morales movie, TV movie about to come out. I mean, come on. It's a lot of stuff about to happen right now. You know, we just have to just maintain control, maintain integrity, and make sure that our stuff is the best material that we can give the people. And that's
it. And I think that, you know, if you look at, especially with the success of Luke Cage, you know, I think that that definitely the case can be made that, look, just studios, take a step back. Let us do what we do. Let us write the story that the way that it needs to be written. Y'all messed up with Halle Berry and Storm. There was major, major backlash with the first X-Men movies. Like, wait, that's not the Storm we know. That's not the poetic, strong. You know, they tried to make her a little strong, but that's not the Storm that we know from the comic books. And you know, it probably took a while. I mean, there was a huge backlash from the community, but you know, the voices weren't loud enough then, you know. And I think that but now I think that, like, you know, like you were saying, you know, that just give us the content. Let us do it. Let us do it right. And yes, you will reap from that. But you've got to let us tell the story the way that it needs to be told. And there's credit, you know, to that. And I really think we're starting to see that now. And the studios are finally starting to get it. That you know, especially from the fans. And we talked about it on the show previously, that the studios are kind of in a odd place where, one, there's one thing to appeal to the fandom, but there's a whole nother thing to actually deal with the masses. And this is my complaint to bring back. Hey, first of all, I didn't mention it. I am actually a protege of Optimus Prime. I studied his school of leadership. So when you bring up the Transformers movie, I love the movie, but I can't watch it because I can't stand to see Optimus die. I have a hard time getting past that point. But once we get the Rodimus,
he comes back, though.
Cool.
But he comes back.
Rodimus comes back, you know. But
I'm talking about the TV series.
Absolutely in the TV series, but the movie, nah. But so, you know, so I was telling folks, like, in these new Transform movies, they're garbage. I mean, I just feel they're garbage. I feel the writing is horrible, and I'm tired of the way they depict Optimus Prime. But they have to, they're not really trying to appeal for the fandom. They're just trying to make money off of as many people as possible. So, you know, they just, as long as they look pretty and a lot of explosions and they get a pretty woman to walk through, you know, they're not really worried so much about the history and the lore and the, right. Yeah,
I think that might have come to an end this past summer because that last movie flopped really hard.
It deserved to flop really hard. It was terrible.
The thing was, this is really what's been going on the past couple of movies with the Transformers movies is the fact that they knew that as far as like the profits were decreasing here in the United States. They were more or less really relying on international overseas money to really, really, you know what I'm saying? Like, really balance out everything. Like, if you look at, like, over the past maybe, what was that? Maybe like 3-4 years. Like, over in like Japan, it was like the movies that were flopping over here were doing great over there. From the last Terminator movie to the previous Transformers movie, the one where they introduced the Dinobots, you know, all this stuff was going great. But eventually, with this last Transformers movie, even Japan was like, yo, that was garbage. And it didn't do anything, period. Anything.
Right.
Like, it made some money, but it didn't do the money it was supposed to do.
Right.
And so now, studios are like, wow, okay, we can't depend on the overseas market to kind of float our movies by now. So now we need to come out with quality material. You know, if you look at like a movie like It right now, I just saw It again last night for the second time. It's a quality movie. It's a good scare. It was a good time. No big name actors, nothing. It was like, yo, it was just a dope movie. You look at earlier this year, you look at Get Out with Jordan Peele. It was like, yo, it was a dope movie. It was different, and it made money.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he and it's crazy. Because of his name, he got turned down by so many studios because they had input until he got with Blumhouse, and they were like, yo, do what you do. And look where we at now.
Right. Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And it was amazing to me that, I mean, with the Transformers movie, I, because the editing was so poor, I'm like, why would anybody allow that movie to even be released in the final cut that it was in? I mean, it was absolutely amazing how poorly done. The graphics were, you know, beautiful, but the editing was terrible, and the story was, it was terrible. And it deserved the flop because they put out, I mean, that was a true test of, let's see if I can make just anything and see if it'll stick. And it didn't. It stunk. It didn't stick. It stunk. And it needed to stick. It deserved to stick. But I could go on and on.
And you know what? And you know, hold on real quick to go on that. And to go on that topic too, there is another studio who used to think the same thing you were saying. Everything we put out is great. And I think that this year alone, Marvel Studios has realized, oh man, we can have some flops too. Iron Fist was a terrible flop. The Inhumans has been canceled.
They canceled it.
Until next week. Yeah. Yeah. So now they know, like, oh wow, okay. I guess we need to come with the A1 game on everything with our name attached, which they should have been doing in the first place.
Right.
But again, right. Sometimes they look at certain things as far as like trying to make money and sell toys. Like I think one of Marvel's best animated television series was Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Oh my goodness! Yes, that was a great show.
It was beautiful. And then you know what happened? Avengers came out. It did great. And then Marvel Studios is like, "Yo, we know we need to reboot this whole entire series." Because now Avengers did so great, we're gonna cancel Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and we're gonna do Avengers Assemble, and I couldn't even watch that show.
Right.
Earth's Mightiest Heroes was so good.
Oh yeah.
But
absolutely,
it's about them trying to capitalize on certain things that they should not worry about. It was like, yo, I'm sure the ratings were there, I'm sure you were selling toys, but you know sometimes that's not good enough. You know, I had an exec that I was talking to over at Turner back in the day when I was doing my other shows that were about to get picked up over there. And he was telling me, I was like, yo, man, what happened with Young Justice? I don't understand.
I knew you have to mention that. Yes.
And this is what he said. You ready for it? You ready? Not enough toys were being bought by females. By girls. That's the reason why it was canceled.
Yep. That's what I heard.
That's the reason why it was canceled.
I was like, and like, how incredibly tone deaf are you? That show had people up in their feelings. The writing on it was, I mean, just the way they wove the stories and the interpersonal relationships. I mean, you had those of us who liked comics and liked heroes and really just liked a really good story, you had us hanging. I mean, the stories were just so well written, you know, and you said, oh, we're not selling enough toys. You're obviously looking at the wrong marketing numbers because you need to look at your viewership. Your viewership is completely off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're supposed to sell commercials around that. Or if you really want to look at the way the new infrastructure is really going towards, look at Netflix. Netflix is basically doing like, yo, we got a ton of money. Who are you? Come over here. We'll give you X amount of dollars for you to do your own show. It's your vision. All right, we'll see you later on when you're ready to turn some stuff in. And that's what's going on with them. They got Shonda Rhimes. So trust me, ABC is going to take a major hit in the next year and a half. Because Shonda Rhimes was basically like filling up time slots on that station.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yo, it's like if you look at like the new Will Smith movie that's coming out, it's coming out in December. The science fiction joint, I forgot the name of it though. It's like, if you, I don't know if you see that trailer or not. That looks like old school Will Smith, like the way we like to see Will Smith. And the director of it, the director from the Suicide Squad, they basically, hey, Netflix said, hey, you know what? We got you on board and we got Will Smith. Here's the budget. Do what you're going to do. We trust you guys. And and it's about to be huge.
You're talking about Bright?
Yeah.
It's called Bright?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous what Netflix is doing right now, man.
It is.
I saw this movie the other day called Whatever Happened to Monday. And I looked, that was like the best sci-fi movie I've seen in the past maybe 2-3 years. And I watched it on a whim. Somebody just recommended it to me, and it was great.
I'm going to tell you, I was surfing Netflix, and I fell up on Black Mirror. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Black Mirror messed me up so bad. And, I mean, and I wish everyone could see, like, that. I think it was the first episode of the third season with the girl who was, she wanted to get likes. And basically, the entire social system was based upon basically your level of likes.
Yep.
I'm like, the metaphor for what we are going through right now, I mean, it was just brilliant. The concept was utterly brilliant. You know, so you're right. Netflix is just, I mean, like even with the Defender series, I mean, that was so well done. I was so worried about anything involving Iron Fist. But thank goodness they got somebody go ahead.
Well, you know, they did say it was, this is what Netflix released earlier this week. They said that the Defenders was the most lowest watched Marvel Studios show on Netflix. And I think a lot of that came from, it's like this. Okay, here we go. Did you watch Iron Fist, the television series?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing, yeah.
Now, here we go. You watched it all the way through, right? You watched from episode one to the last episode. You saw some progression in him, right? You saw by the end of that last episode, he was trying to be a different person, right?
Right.
You look at Defenders, the very first episode, it's like he's back to being the same guy from the first episode of Iron Fist. It's like, what happened? He's like, I'm rich. I'm a billionaire. And it's like, yo, are you serious, dude? I thought it was supposed to be the Iron Fist. Why do you keep talking about money? But you had some great moments in that show where I think one of the most, it was so beautiful. What happened? Where Luke Cage called him out saying, yo, the only power you really got is you being white.
Wow.
What hard struggle you really going through? And that was beautiful. And I was so I was surprised they let that come through. But it was beautiful, dude.
Yeah, and they really took some chances in that. But the writing, you know, definitely the action coordination around Iron Fist was definitely better. But you're right, the progression of the character was definitely stifled for some odd reason. I don't know why they chose to keep him kind of in this place where I am the immortal Iron Fist. You know, I am here to fight the hand, and he never really evolves past that.
No,
you know, maybe we'll see what happens in Defenders 2. let's see what happens.
And did he really fight the hand? Really, or was it really Daredevil? Yeah.
It was a little bit of both. He was up in the boardroom handling some business until everyone else showed up. You know, but
until
still,
Luke Cage had to come help him.
Yeah, well, that was interesting how almost every episode he got his butt kicked by somebody different. it was kind of weird, but yet he's the immortal Iron Fist, defender of Kung Lung, you know, constant enemy of the hand. He keeps reminding us of that, but yet he keeps getting his butt handed to him.
All the time.
Okay, so we got a little bit less than 10 minutes left, and so I want to talk about two other things regarding Sasuke. Can you give us an idea of where you're trying to go with the comic? Are you going to try to just tell the story? Are you going to do, is your concept to do maybe, you know, 10 editions, and you told the story, and in the story they do something different? Are you going to tell the first, are you going to tell the origin story and then evolve him and take it into, you know, season 2, season 3? What's your plan? Right now I know you're trying to get it launched. I know that. But like, what are you trying to do with the comic?
No, it's fine. Okay, with the comic book series and the animated series. The comic book series deals with Yasuke's basically, like, issue 1 and so on will deal with Yasuke's adventures from him in Africa to him being captured up until his time that he comes to Japan. That's a span of a couple of years. The animated series will deal specifically with him from his time in Japan on until he passes away, which that'll be a whole different story later on. So yeah.
Wow.
So one is basically before and then after, you know.
Got you.
So yeah,
okay.
That's basically what, yeah.
Got you. Yeah, because I was wondering. Wow, you go ahead.
Yeah, so basically, like I said, it's just basically like everything you'll see, you know, what he went through on the slave boats. You'll see who his first master was. You'll see that he was not always the perfect warrior. You'll see him go through stuff. You'll see him start to learn stuff. You know, you'll basically see everything he went through as far as how he developed PTSD and everything else. Really, if you want to say that the Yasuke comic book will be more of a horror type comic, I would not be mad with you, because it kind of does show some of the brutal realities of slavery.
Right.
So yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be very, very powerful, and I think that. I think there's going to be is a pretty good market that people, if you get in the right hands of the right folks, that they're really going to, you know, soak that in. So, okay. So tell people what they need to do right now to make sure that this becomes a reality.
All you have to do is just go to thehatchfund.org/project/Yasuke link. Go there. Hatch Fund is a little different than Kickstarter. With Hatch Fund, you immediately have to have the money in your account, because the money would be immediately taken out. So the whole thing is a couple of good perks you get. Number one, you can get a digital copy of a comic. You can get a physical copy. You can get a poster. You can get a T-shirt. You can get all the same type of perks you would normally get off of Kickstarter. But here's a bonus. With Hatch Fund, everything that you donate to this project is 110% tax deductible.
Oh,
as
wow.
As soon as you make your donation, you will immediately be emailed a tax receipt. Save your tax receipt, and then you can write it off when it comes tax time, come January, February, or either whatever time you do it. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Kickstarter does not offer tax deductions at all. So the whole thing is, you'll be able to see some pages from the comic book. You'll see the quality that we're going for. That's the quality we're going to maintain. You can also see how much money that quality costs. I've had people that say to me, hey, that's kind of on the same level as a Marvel or a DC. And that I thanked them. I said, that's the level I'm going for. I have to be able to compete with the big boys. So it's like, I need the funds to be able to take care of that. One of the stretch goals is if I'm able to reach a certain amount, I'll be able to put that more money into the animated series. Right now, I am going to produce and do 6 episodes of the animated series myself right now. We are currently working on the pilot as we speak. Straight independent, everything else, no studios involved except for my studio, staying true to the vision. So, I mean, basically, like, just a donation to the Yasuke Project is like a donation to yourself. It's like, you know, I'm really trying to give everybody the best product that I can possibly give. And if you go to the link, you go to the site, you can actually see and feel and get a good grasp of everything I'm trying to give to the people.
Wow, that is a lot. That's incredible. I'm really hoping and I really believe that we can get this funded. And we're going to share this with as many people as we can and get into the right hands of the folks that have big distributions. Can you tell folks how they get in contact with you, any of your social media or Facebook? Can you, you know, let folks how they know they can contact you?
Sure. Facebook, Avaloy Studios, that's A-V as in Victor, A-L-O-Y Studios. Also, it's Avaloy Studios on Twitter and also Avaloy Studios on Instagram as well. You can go to any of those. And that's actually, too, if you go to those, some of those, you can be able to see some of the behind-the-scenes footage from the Yasuke comic book and also some of the behind-the-scenes footage from the Yasuke animated series as well as other projects that I'm working on right now.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That, see, didn't know about all those links now. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna be getting. I got to follow you on a couple other places. I was like, okay, wait a minute, you're in more places than I thought. Okay, so I definitely need to get.
And I'll say this real quick. If people go to the Instagram and look through some of the history, you could be able to see a sneak little preview of the Yasuke virtual reality game that I'm working on too, as well. Just real quick. There you go.
Cool. Whoa, you work on a virtual reality game too? Man, you got a lot going on.
Yeah,
man,
that's what I'm trying to get the people to get behind me, man.
I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to reach out to my people. Hopefully they're going to do what they can. We're going to get the word out, and we're going to pull together. We're going to get this thing funded in the next 22 days. Man, thanks so much. This has been a great interview. It's been a great conversation. Durante, man, just really appreciate your energy, and you know, want to wish you all the best. And we're gonna pull this together. We're gonna make this happen, man. We're gonna do this.
I definitely appreciate it, man. Definitely appreciate it. I'm glad we finally got together on this.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Me and my crazy schedule run around every which way from Sunday, and I appreciate you making the time to sit down and talk about this project. And folks, make sure that now you get locked in. He's giving you all of his social media connections. Make sure you go and check him out. And more importantly than just check him out, you know, definitely try to, you know, contribute. If 160 people give $20 each, 160 people. Now, y'all know some of y'all got 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 followers. He needs 160 people to give $20 each, and this thing is going to be funded. We can get,
you know,
I'll give you
something else too. If 300 people just did $10, just do $10.
That's right.
That's it.
300 people. That's all.
That's it. Just 10 bucks.
$10. That's all you need. All right. Well, we are just about out of time. Thank you so much. Make sure you all go to theblackgeeks.com. Check us out there. We're also the Black Geek on Facebook, Instagram, all over the place, and definitely check out our SoundCloud account as well. And this whole interview will be posted there as well. Thanks so much. Appreciate everyone listening in, and we'll be back with you real soon. Appreciate it.
Bulletproof love. The blood thicker than mud. And who am I to judge if you get a gun in the club? Cause you already know what a bulletproof does when the hood got your back, dog. Bulletproof love. Yeah, shout out to Pop. R.I.P. my brother. Streets is crazy nowadays. Say we don't need another hero, but now we got one, whether you like it or not. Luke Cage, please believe it, sir. The streets got your back. You already bulletproof love, baby.